We're talking about tefillah, and we began the conversation last week by establishing that tefillah at its core is bonding with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this connection, this bonding, is in and of itself the ultimate, the basic, fundamental experience of tefillah. The challenge is when we think about what that means in the context of tefillah, it's obviously not enough just to be present, right? Being present, that's the metzias. But obviously, tefillah is comprised of language. And so what I'd like to think about together with you tonight is this concept of bonding with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the context of language. Because if we take a step back in general, and we think about both sides of this equation, this notion of bonding with Hashem, of being with Hashem in that moment, it's very much connected to an experience that we can call emuna. Emuna is that feeling of being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's that experience of feeling and having an awareness, a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it's related to the word omein, which is nurturing and feeling connected. But how do you express emuna? How do you manifest the emuna that we have in our experience? How do you manifest that practically? Or in other words, how does a person bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do we nurture this bond? And the answer, of course, is through language. Because what is the tool that we have in life that creates relationships? Imagine you could be standing at a bus stop with someone and you could be in close proximity to them for an extended period of time, or even on one of those 12-hour flights where you're trapped in your seat and the person next to you is trapped in their seat. But the only way that you connect with the next person is by speaking, through the use of words, through the use of language. So ultimately, to create a bond with Hashem, to create this hiskashrus, we need to use our words. And through speech, we express, we nurture, and we create a deeper sense of emuna, of connection with and awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our emuna is expressed through tefillah. In a certain sense, it's like David HaMelech says in Tehillim, He'emanti ki adaber. So many Hasidic masters explain, He'emanti, I have that feeling of emuna, ki adaber, because I speak. And this is what we're going to explore tonight. I think there are four main takeaways we're going to get to in the notion that emuna, our connection, is expressed through these words, through the words of tefillah. Rabbi Sachs describes it really beautifully. He has a piece on tefillah where he talks about the relationship between tefillah and emuna. And this is what we're discussing. Prayer, he says, is our intimate dialogue with infinity, the profoundest expression of our faith, that at the heart of reality is a presence that cares, a God who listens, a creative force that brought us into being in love. It is this belief more than any other that redeems life from solitude and fate from tragedy. The universe has a purpose. We have a purpose. Parenthetically, this is what we mean when we talk about emuna, living life with the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam. However infinitesimal we are, however brief our stay on earth, we matter. The universe is more than particles of matter endlessly revolving in indifferent space. The human person is more than an accidental concatenation of genes blindly replicating themselves. Human life is more than a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Prayer gives meaning into existence. In other words, prayer is associated with the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of emuna. And here's the key line. In Judaism, we do not analyze our faith, we pray it. We do not philosophize about truth, we sing it, we daven it. For Judaism, Faith becomes real when it becomes prayer. He'emanti ki adaber. I nurture my emuna through speech. I bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through language. Language is extremely powerful. There's a very fascinating, there's a fascinating ha'ara about language by Heschel. Let me pull it up for it here. Or by Abraham J. Heschel. He says, some people may wonder, why was the light of God given in the form of language? How is it conceivable that the divine should be contained in such brittle vessels as consonants and vowels? This question betrays the sins of our age to treat lightly the ether which carries the light waves of the spirit. What else in the world is as capable of bringing man and man together over the distances in space and in time? Of all things on earth, words alone never die. They have so little matter and so much meaning. Hemanti ki adaber, we create emuna for ourselves by speaking. And you know this intuitively. You know, it used to be, and you see this sometimes, although now we don't have telephone booths, so you don't see it as much. I don't know how often you travel in O'Hare in the early morning before sunrise, and you see a random guy standing behind B21 in the United Terminal that doesn't have a departure, and this man is swaying and muttering. You ever see that? Or it's about to be sunset, and you see someone standing in a corner of the terminal somewhere, and again, they're standing next to a glass pane, swaying back and forth, muttering. So if someone were to come over to someone and say, what are you doing? You are talking to a console in an airport. You would say, no, I'm speaking to an invisible God, and it's almost Shkia. I got to get in my davening. I got to get in Mincha. Why do we do that? Because we believe, we feel that the Ribbono Shel Olam is standing right in front of us. This is the expression of tefillah. If the heart of tefillah is being in the presence of Hashem, manifesting that is through speech. And that's why there's a beautiful piece. Excuse me. Some of you are familiar with a sefer, a set of svarim called Bilvavi Mishkan Evne from Rav Itamar Schwartz. So some of these svarim that talk about nurturing our spiritual selves. He has some pieces in English translated. So he has a piece. Look here. Look at this awesome piece. Tefillah, speaking with Hashem. And it really captures this idea of last week being in the presence of Hashem and this week articulating it and creating it with words, with language. Another aspect in tefillah, he writes, is the fact that tefillah utilizes our power of speech. Tefillah is not just about recognizing Hashem as we stand in front of Him. It is to talk to Him. The Mesillas Yesharim writes that when we daven, we are literally speaking with Hashem, as real as can be. It's possible that a person is standing in front of Hashem in prayer, but he is quiet and doesn't speak to Him. He feels the reality of Hashem, but he is missing the relationship part because he is not speaking with Him. So these are the two parts of tefillah: recognizing the reality of Hashem and speaking with Hashem as if He is actually in front of us, as the Mesillas Yesharim says. Tefillah is the time when we stand in front of Hashem and speak to Him. But we need to speak to Him through the recognition that He is really in front of us. We use our words and we nurture this bond, this tefillah, this hiskashrus. So now we can understand several things about davening. Maybe one of them is the most challenging, and that is that the fact that Chazal, the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, they gave us a fixed baseline for tefillah. They gave us three davenings a day with Shemona Esrei and all the pieces that go with it. So why did they do that? Because sometimes in a relationship, to nurture a relationship, we need to use words, we need to use language, but we struggle with that. I didn't read it yet, but I just found out that Brené Brown has a new book out. And it's about language, the language of emotions. I listened to recently, she gave a talk about this, and she was describing how we have so many diverse, various, variegated human emotions, and yet so many people struggle to articulate different emotions. When they did studies, most people could only come up with three emotions, the language of mad, sad, glad. I think those were the three that she said. And it struck me. And she was talking about how we need to find a language. And in a certain sense, we sit down with the Ribbono Shel Olam and maybe we would get stuck. Maybe we wouldn't know what to say. We wouldn't know how to say it. So Chazal said, we're going to give you a beautiful secret formula that of course has many layers of deep meaning in and of itself. Each of these words in Lashon HaKodesh has deep meaning, but it gives us the language that at least we can say, Baruch Atah, HaKodesh Baruch Hu, you're the source of all blessing. You are the abundance that shines everything into our lives. Otherwise, I don't know, how would I start a conversation with God? So now I know at least some framework, and of course there's what to add. So that's number one, the notion that we have tefillah because it gives us structure. It gives us language when sometimes we might not have that language. In the mashal, she quotes from a Sufi mashal that Brené Brown gives, she's talking about something else, about emotion, but I think it's true for this. Emuna is like an ocean. The shore is the language, is the tefillah that gives it contours. Or emuna is like a spring of water, and the davening is like a vessel, a receptacle to hold the water, to capture it, to give it shape and form, to give it structure. That's number one. Number two, if tefillah is verbalizing our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our emuna, we can understand how when we have a relationship, we have different experiences, and we're bonding with Hashem, that can come out and express itself in different ways. And that's why we have different languages for tefillah. When Yaakov Avinu comes down to Egypt and he sees Yosef, he says, mein kind, my son, Vayomer Yisrael el Yosef. Yisrael says to Yosef, Re'o fonecha lo filalti. To see your face, lo filalti. What does that mean, filalti, Yaakov Avinu is saying? What does it mean, Re'o fonecha lo filalti? Any guesses? Yes?
Imagine?
Yes!
I never imagined.
Love it! Yes! Beautiful! Imagine! I never dreamed! I never imagined! I never conceived that I would see you, Yosef, after all this time! So one expression of davening is what we dream about, what's important to us. We talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the things that matter to us. And then there's another dimension of tefillah that we talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about things that are reflective. We mentioned last week the pasuk in Tehillim, Vayamu Pinchas Vayafalel. Tefillah milashon lefalel means to judge, from the idea of criticizing or scrutinizing or measuring. And so Pinchas teaches us that sometimes when we daven, we scrutinize ourselves, we judge ourselves. And there's more to say about that. Sometimes some great tzaddikim, they judge HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But filalti lehispalil, it doesn't just mean to bond. It also means to dream and to judge and to analyze. And it means different things because relationships have different dimensions and different conversations. So number one, we understand why we need fixed language. Number two, we understand why we need different expressions of emuna through different types of tefillahs. We can also understand why, number three, tefillah places a strong emphasis on bakasha, on asking Hashem for things. And there are many philosophical elements of why we need to ask God for things if He knows already, but one of them, one element here perhaps, is that when we want to develop a relationship, we want to open our heart and really connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is one of the most important ingredients when using language to create a relationship? It's vulnerability. Tefillah is a language of vulnerability. And we know when we develop relationships with people, we increase that level of vulnerability as the relationship deepens. As we develop more trust, we could be more vulnerable. When we connect on a deeper level to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can say how vulnerable we are, how lost we would be without Him. How, God forbid, what would happen if we were diving down the road and He wasn't holding us in His hands as we drove, and He didn't give us the capacity to navigate life. So when we say Baruch Atah, you're the source of everything, Chonein Hadas, could you please help us? Because I couldn't do it on my own. That vulnerability itself nurtures the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And maybe one last dimension is that it's true there's a fixed language for tefillah, and that there are different expressions of tefillah through dreaming and judging, and that the language of tefillah creates a structure for us to be vulnerable. But there's also a fourth dimension, which is almost the opposite, which is that if this is really about a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it can't be limited to just a fixed conversation that appears three times a day in the Siddur. It can't just be the words that appear in the Siddur. It has to have some personal component that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mamish real, and then we're talking to him about what's going on in our life. So that might be in Shema Kolenu to add something personal. It might be his Hispodidus, but it might just be a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at a juncture in life. There is a beautiful book, really fascinating book that I read once. It's called Strangers and Neighbors. It's written by a Catholic theologian professor at the University of Scranton. So this woman, her name is Johnson. Peggy, what's her? I forget the first name. What was her name? Let me see if I can find it for you. Hold on, I want to find it for you because it's fascinating. Here we go. Maria Podgy Johnson is her name. Maria Podgy Johnson. So this book, Strangers and Neighbors, is fascinating. It's about her experience moving to Scranton with her Catholic family, being on the block of Shomer Shabbos families. It's her perspective on Yahadus. I highly recommend it because it can give us a lot to appreciate about our own Yiddishkeit and to be inspired by. It's amazing. So the book itself is very interesting, but she makes a comment in there that teaches us something about the nature of natural tefillah, about emunah. And she's coming from a different faith, but she describes how she was on her way into her first class on theology, and she felt like she mamish didn't know what she was doing. And she stops by her lahavda, whatever shtibel they have in the chapel over there with the icons and the Christian situation she's got going on. So she stops in the little lahavda, the Catholic-based medrash over there, and she describes how she just whispers something. She just whispers it. And I'm like, oh, that's a person who lives with their God. Now, we don't believe in the same God, but I can tell you that a few weeks ago, when we have Rav Weinberger here, Lahavdil Elof Alfei Havdolos, when he was speaking on Thursday night, so first we had a little singing, some hisvadas, and before he started to speak, I saw he was mumbling under his breath. And I know exactly what he was doing. He was davening. He was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that God should give him the right words to inspire us, to move us, to raise us up. And that's why in the Shulchan Aruch, there are all these little tefillahs that a person should say before they go to the doctor, and when they travel, and when they engage in different aspects of life which invite us to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our world through our emunah. So maybe that's why tefillah is not limited to the fixed text. Yes, we need the fixed language because sometimes in a relationship, you need words to shape how you want to express yourself, to give you some content, some context. But really, it transcends those fixed words into our own personal words, to create those tefillahs with our own words. And it takes lots of different forms. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov even introduces that when you learn something, you make it into a tefillah. The whole notion of having a conversation with Hashem, of using our words, our language, that is what tefillah is. As the Bilvavi said, it's the other half of the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's bringing it into reality with our speech. That's our emunah hemanti ki adaber. As Rabbi Sachs said, we don't study theology of faith. We pray our faith. We pour it out Eshboch lefan of sichi. We just pour it out like water, like the ocean. Like that mashal that the emuna is the ocean. Eshboch, I'm pouring it out, but what am I using? I'm using the vessel of my speech. So when we sit down to daven, no matter how long it is or how short, we number one realize that we are in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're creating a connection through this language, through this word, through this expression of emuna. And what an amazing gift that is. So not only is it an awareness that Hashem is with us, that we're not alone, but now we have a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And whatever I'm saying to him is strengthening that feeling of togetherness, of bond, of hiskashrus, of tefillah, which is exactly the definition that we're striving for and we're pursuing to try to create that experience for ourselves in our lives.